Lifeway Leadership Podcast Network. You're listening to the newchurches.com Q&A podcast. New Churches is an online hub for the mission of church multiplication. Here you'll find the resources and training you need to get started, as well as a community of church planting and multi-site experts to help you thrive. My name is Daniel Im, and I'm here with Ed Stetzer.
I want you to say the word R-E-S-O-U-R-C-E-S. How do you say that?
Resources.
Resources. That's Canadian. That's right there. Yeah. It's Canadian. There's so many, you know, again, we went up with episode 6,000, and I just now noticed that you pronounce it resources.
Resources. Yeah. Yeah. I can't, so I've tried to do resources. I just,
resources.
Yeah. I don't know. Yeah. It sounds wrong to me.
But that's the way it's spelled. I mean, so how do you, resources.
Yeah. We will resource.
Hey, resource.
Yeah. Exactly. I don't say about.
Yes. That's what you say. I can hear it though, but my wife's about, Canadian. Yeah. So, but I can hear the about. It's not quite about a boot, but it's, you're about, kind of in the middle about, yeah. about. But so we can tell, I mean, yes. did people, when you went back to Canada from the great state of Tennessee, did people say your accent had changed?
Oh, for sure. Yeah. Okay. I mean, I'll find myself sometimes slurring a little bit here and there. Whereas,
are you implying that people in Tennessee slur?
compared to proper enunciation, yes.
ouch. Hey, don't say that about, I lived there for a decade, yeah. Man. Those are my friends.
See, right there, you're slurring.
Was I slurring? I don't even know. I'm from New York. You got a problem with that?
No. But you were right there doing a little bit of a Tennessean accent.
I don't think so. Yeah. I don't know what you're talking about. All right. I'm gonna believe you.
Anyway. Hey, you know, we're still saying y'all strong though. So yeah, I'm sure that's
good. Andy and y'all. I like that.
Okay. So today on today's episode, we're going to do a little bit of a two-part series. Who knows? It might become a three-part for today's episode. And in two episodes from now, basically on the emotional state of what's going on and some of the real questions and the real where people's hearts actually are right now in light of everything that's happening
out there. Yeah. It is a train wreck out there in pastoral leadership. No, I'm serious. It's heartbreaking. And see, I know people wanting to bail. I mean, it's
So that's what this question is. And yes, I know our podcast is particularly on church planting, on multi-site multiplication, but you know, Ed, feel free to address it from that perspective or just in the general sense as we get at it. But here's the question. What do you do when you just don't have the vision to go on anymore, right? So really, you just don't have, you might be able to keep on going, but you're not getting any fresh vision. You're not excited about it the way that you're not driving toward that. You don't have the vision to go on anymore.
Yeah. I think it's really important to say that this concept, this idea that we're constantly just filled with passion and enthusiasm for vision is sort of a modern invention. The reality is ministry can be and often is a long, hard slog. Mm-hmm. And I think part of the challenge is that maybe we go to these conferences and it's rah-rah and I host conferences. Mm-hmm. I used to speak at these things called conferences when we got on things called airplanes. Yeah. But the reality is that we go to those things to encourage us, but it's to think of this constant vision, as in, I define vision not in this moment as having clarity of direction. You need to have that clarity of direction. But I'm talking about that inspiring story to tell that's going to change the world and you're going to rally people to. Mm. That's just not, it's kind of like thinking your honeymoon is your marriage. It's kind of like thinking your dating years is your lifelong relationship. So what I would say is, and again, I am not at all pleased. It's so hard. There's probably so much in that question that deals with a lot of pain and hurt. But what I want to set at the very beginning of this podcast is a more realistic expectation that the joy of ministry does not come from vision. The joy of ministry comes from faithfulness obedience and community, right? So vision is great, but it comes from faithfulness, obedience, and community. Those three things are going to get us through. Because here's the deal. This really is a tough time to lead. This is, you know, and I, you're pastoring and I'm leading the Wheaton College Billy Graham Center. I don't know that it's the same everywhere. I don't know what your experience is in Canada. I will tell you, this is the hardest time I've ever led. I've never shrunk anything before like this. I had to make some decisions about where our, you know, finances are. And, you know, it wasn't a huge contraction, but I've never contracted like this before. And so if my endorphins are only driven by that visionary, what's going to be better this time than last time, that's more of an American, and I'm not saying in terms of an American-Canadian thing. I'm talking in terms of a Western. Mm-hmm. That's more of a Western thing. Here's the reality. For church planning, it's hard sometimes. And there's a time and a place to say, I got no more vision, I need to quit and let somebody else lead it. But I think we're just not accustomed to dwelling in the normalcy of ministry and mission so that it may feel like our vision's gone when really this is just a hard time and we gotta keep plodding through, faithful to the gospel, loving our people, sharing the gospel and more, and realize that some of the vision that has been stripped away was more the modern approach to life than it was necessarily the vision that God has for us, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I like where you've started us here in this, because it really is that sense of perspective, right? It's that sense of, okay, also there's a course correction that's needing to be done, but there's also this stripping away that's happened during this pandemic, still happening during this pandemic, that I wonder how much of it is a little bit of a purification that's happening. Because in a sense, when we think about vision and what we get excited about as it relates to waking up in the morning and you know, going into the office and preaching on the weekends and pastorally shepherding and counseling, you know, everything that comes into what it means to be a pastor. Yeah, it's interesting because I wonder if maybe the draining out that some people might be experiencing or the emotional reaction that people might be experiencing is actually a reflection of where they've put their identity in.
Yeah, and I think that's true. And I think I think part of it is the inability to concentrate on things for a long term that aren't exciting. Hmm. And church planning is, now this is a church planning podcast. Church planning is just an amazing, exciting experience. So I just went back and spoke at the, it wasn't technically the 25th anniversary, but we called it the 25th anniversary of the second church we planted. Mm. And, you know, it was the whole time I was there, it was exciting. But I was there for 4 years. And now the faithful pastor who succeeded me has been there for over 20 years. Wow. And I will tell you that it's just the fidelity of gospel passion and loving people. And what was really strange, I mean, you know, because Daniel, I've never done this where I've walked with people for 20 years. So the people who were teenagers there were now adults with kids. And they all knew him and all loved him. His name's Todd, by the way, Todd Cyphers. And it was a beautiful thing to see and something that he only has because he was able to do what I didn't do, which, and partly because my wiring, my calling, whatever reason, I'm sure all of it's not good. I'm sure all of it's not bad. But for me, that the, you know, longest I ever stayed a place was at Lifeway for 9 years. And I started 5 different things when I was at Lifeway. I'm a starter of things. Mm-hmm. And what I would say is that can create for us being an experience junkie, and the ministry is not a good place for the experience junkie, particularly not in 2020. This is just hard, challenging time. So I don't know that the person who asked this or he or she is struggling, ready to give up. I'm not saying that there are not times and places to step back and step away. This is one of the reasons that we started the Resilient Church Leadership Initiative, resilientchurchleaders.com, is partly because we want people to wisely choose and to intentionally step away at times. And there are times when, you know, for me, know, I left because it was time for me to leave, right? So just because in my, and I would say to you that the language that I use, I was just thinking about this, having just preached at this church I started 25 years ago, is that the language that I used to articulate then was, I just didn't have a vision for what's next. Mm. And one of the reasons I know God calls me something is I have a vision for it. And so I literally use the same language that now I'm saying be cautious about. Maybe because I'm older, I think it's more because, it's probably that too. But I think the most of it is right now all of our visions are being crushed under the weight of reality and turbulence and brokenness and division. And this is the time when we need a vision for Christ and the cross and for God's people. And again, I want to be real careful. I'm not saying that, I literally would say to some, you know, if one day when I leave the Wheaton College Billy Graham Center, it'll be because I believe it's someone else's time to take that vision to what's next. So I'm not discounting that. I am saying that I think a whole lot of people are listening to podcasts right now and pointing at their earbuds and saying, this is my situation too. And maybe it gives them some hope in life that we just got to continue at this.
Yeah. And, you know, let's go back to that word, vision.
Yeah.
Vision in the midst of, I mean, no one knows. Like, we can have our projections and our anticipations and kind of like, oh, yeah, you know, it might be like this. But yeah, if it depending on, we all have different personalities and bents toward that, where some of us are way better at short. You know, kind of we're more nearsighted than we are farsighted. And we all have different ranges in terms of what we can anticipate and what we lead toward, not one better than the other, just different strengths. So I wouldn't be surprised if the lack of uncertainty in regards to the future is compiling on and really, really exasperating the fact that many people feel like they've lost their vision. So I as I hear you, Ed, I just really want to encourage our listeners to go back to the one that never changes, to go back to and turn to the one who will never who will never let you down. It's kind of like that idea, don't ever build your church's vision on a building campaign.
Yeah.
Because the moment you build the building, it's over. And what are you going to call your people to after? Yeah, you can call people to it, but don't make the vision of your church that. So perhaps this is a moment where collectively we can make sure that our vision is on Christ and not on our identity or our church or where whatever our dreams and hopes for in regards to that.
Yeah, and I want to almost pull back on that and say, yes, I mean, not pull back on that. We both have said this and... But I want to say that vision really is a thing and people are drawn to vision and people give to vision. So don't hear, like, don't take this one podcast out of context and say, you know, Ed and Daniel have turned into those, you know, dour, unhappy, theological, you know, types that, you know, because the people on the internet are always saying, vision's not even in the Bible. What are you talking about? And they're just yelling all the time. Just preach the gospel and, you know, don't worry. No, I really do think you need to cast a vision and you need to have a vision and more. What I would say is this may... And here's the irony. This poor person may have just been like I was at the end of my church plant and God had called me something else. I had a vision for that. Someone else needed a new vision. And we just unloaded all this on this person. But what I would say is I just want to make sure that all of us here, because this isn't just an answer to one question, but right now, the excitement of the vision that has driven church planting for 30 years has been sucked out of much of church planting, and Jesus is still on his throne. God is still at work. Churches still need to be planted, and we need gospel workers to be on this gospel mission.
Amen. Amen. Hey, well, thanks again for listening into the New Churches Q&A podcast. We hope you can share this episode with perhaps a friend, a pastor friend who might need it, or maybe you can share it with your team and have a discussion about it afterwards. Thanks again for listening in. And we will catch you next time. But in two episodes, we'll actually do a part two to this. All right, we'll catch you next time.